Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. So, before I go into anything else, I just want to say I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday and eat a lot of Thanksgiving, that stuffing, and then regret about it like myself the next day. But besides just that, I am much more prepared for this next episode, and I'm ready to talk about what I want to talk about. And not only that, I am mentally prepared, I'm feeling better than the other day, and I feel like I could take on the world for the podcast world. But besides just that extremely bad thing, let's just talk about a couple things really quick. Okay, first things first, I did have the entire thing of the episode that I recently talked about today, that is, full out for the first half, but somehow Anchor, being the gracious app that I always use for my podcast, decided to crash on me. So I had to basically start over. So, and furthermore, before I continue, I just want to say, if you guys listen to each of my podcasts, you'll help me out slowly but surely to pay for the bills, flush that toilet over there, and to pay for them textbooks, blah, 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 blah. Let's get into it. So basically for this episode, I want to try to talk about is both spinoffs and reboots. So even though spin-offs and reboots are different, they are kind of similar in a sense of either A, lack of creativity and originality, or basically both. The lack of creativity or originality, or they are making less money and they need to do something. So let's get on to a good example of a spin-off, which is Halo Reach. Now, Halo Reach was actually my favorite game growing up. And not only that, it told the story of a different forms of Spartans before we knew the original OG Spartan, that was Master Chief. And really, it was a great story. It had a great idea to it. And it basically, like, sadly showed what war can truly be like on the opposite end if you're not on the winning team. Well, I don't want to say on the winning team, but in just war in general. And I'll get to another part about a game series that does the exact same thing. And I feel personally that this is a good example of a spinoff. Now, a spinoff is normally something like a series, but in a different direction. It could either go in a different direction, poorly or good, somewhat, or it could be a part of the exact same universe and have a story in a different placement or a different timeline of that said universe. Which brings me up to my point of Call of Duty. Now, hear me out. A game where it takes place in either modern or World War II, World War I, the Cold War, or so on, where it has what-if scenarios if World War III actually did happen. And you guys are not gonna agree with me that it kind of has a spin-off series that has a spin-off series that's based off a spin-off series that's also a spin-off that's a spin-off that's also a spin-off. Now, even though Call of Duty is its own franchise entirely and each of the game series have their own story to tell, I kind of do want to say it's more of like a different idea of how the game perceives in different ways, like in different storytelling and in a different, I want to say, universe, but has the same idea, like either modern warfare, boots on the ground, going undercover, and so on and so forth. Whereas in the future, later games, like say Black Ops 2, Black Ops 3, Advanced, and sadly Infinite Warfare, it more or less takes the idea and inspiration of a what-if scenario in the future. And that is actually a pretty interesting idea, because it's a spin-off of modern retelling of traditional modern warfare and putting a more sci-fi twist to it. And to me, that is another good idea of what a spin-off series could be entirely. Even if the game was originally about World War I or World War II, and it spin-offed into a modern retelling and then spin-off into a sci-fi retelling. Okay, so basically I did talk about two different games have a great example of a spinoff. Let's get into, sadly, bad ones. For this case, I'll be talking about one from Cartoon Network, another one from Disney, and a third one from Nickelodeon. So let's start with Cartoon Network's Total Dramarama. Oh my god, I dread this show. No, I loathe this cartoon. Because it is absolutely stupid. It is a stupid idea to begin with, and yet they slap their hands on the desk and say, we'll greenlit it. And it is somehow on TV. Because one thing, it may be okay when you're a kid, but when you're looking back on it as an adult, you're like, how did I like this? Or how is this a thing even? Because let me tell you something. The cliche idea of where you would say, oh, it's everyone's favorite character. But as kids, is a stupid and very questionable cliche. Because I remember the original episodes of Total Drama Island. And it basically introduced the characters one at a time. And they basically slowly and surely built a bond with one another and built different types of tension later on in the episodes, including the other series like Total Drama Action or like Total Drama World Tour or Revenge of the Island and so on and so forth. Before Total Drama Rama. And really, it is just an absolutely stupid idea, and yet Cartoon Network greenlit it. Speaking of greenlighting, what's the best choice you would have? An original cartoon that is actually really good in terms of storytelling and or characters, made by the person who made OKKO, Let's Be Heroes, or a spinoff of an existing cartoon. If you chose the first answer, you are sadly mistaken, because Cartoon Network has not greenlit this cartoon from what I can understand. Instead, they made a spinoff series of We Three Bears. But as kids, everyone likes that idea. Now, for this series, it kind of does and it doesn't make any sense to me. It kind of does make sense because we kind of know little of how they met in the first place and how they dedicated themselves to being, quote, brothers. And really, it does kind of make sense, but it kind of doesn't make any sense because really, in the original, we kind of saw of how they grew with one another. Some of the characters like Polar Bear? I can't remember their names. Damn it. But anyway, the Polar Bear character, of how they grew up and how they lived and what they might have experienced as kids and how they got to live in their cave is much as anyone else. And really, it kind of doesn't make any sense because it's like, okay, why wouldn't you make this if we kind of already know the idea of how they knew each other or how they lived in the original series? The bigger question is, why couldn't they just make the episodes upon the original? That way, they could still greenlit the other one and not greenlit this one. Creativity, everyone! If you want something else, just make kids from the original, and everyone will like it. So, let's get on to Disney's really quick. Disney spinoffs are, how do I want to say it? It's their movies, but in cartoon formation. Okay, so let me be blunt. When a really good movie that Disney made becomes a cartoon, I don't know why, but I normally think of it as a death sentence. Because really, after the series ends, no one talks about it. This happened to two movies that I remember as a kid, and I feel as if no one talks about it in Disney. And these movies are both Lilo and Stitch and The Emperor's New Groove. And those were brilliant movies. And not only that, they also had some pretty decent cartoons of their own. Whereas The Emperor's New Groove was The Emperor's New School, I think. And Lilo and Stitch was Lilo and Stitch. And basically, they told their own stories where where Kuzco had to go back to school for some reason. And the idea of the Lilo and Stitch cartoon was basically a cartoon for the movie, but instead of just going off of the two movies, it's going off of a series where it's more or less going towards something of more different ideas and characters and experiments. Now, hold the phone, folks. I just gotta check something really quick. Sorry about that, folks. I just had something brought up, and now I'm back. But let's get on to the second part. No, the third part of the spinoff idea, which is Nickelodeon. So I hope all of you, everyone who listens to this podcast knows of Stephen Hillenburg. He was a man who made one of the best animated cartoons for the 2000s ever. And once he pitched it to Nickelodeon, they loved it. Everyone loved it. And that cartoon was SpongeBob SquarePants. And it has a place for everyone, new and old, and it's a cartoon to be remembered forever. However, in November of 2018, a dark cloud has sadly cast over the skies of Bikini Bottom. Stephen Hillenburg is sadly no longer with us. And before he died, he said that he did not want a SpongeBob SquarePants spinoff. Now, what's even low for Nickelodeon was, even though one of their best men who created the cartoon that sparked something big for them was not true to their own word. And after he died, they brought out promotion pictures of a SpongeBob SquarePants spinoff series. Now, this series has first been speculated from the beginning, and it has been shown and talked about amongst other YouTubers. I believe there was like a couple of articles here and there saying that there were supposed to be a Squidward spinoff as well. And really, I'm just like thinking to myself, why though? The cartoon's already big enough. You don't need to make a spinoff from it. And especially where one of your best employees blatantly say that you should... He does not want a spinoff. And yet, from others say that Nickelodeon literally waited for him to kick the bucket just so they could make the spinoff. Now, this spinoff idea first started on a promotion project of the third movie, SpongeBob Sponge on the Run. And blatantly at the end, I think, I haven't seen it, each of the characters from SpongeBob, Patrick, Squidward, Sandy, and Mr. Krabs basically had like this emotional moment with SpongeBob going back to a Camp Coral idea. Mrs. Puff was there for some reason too. And they basically reminisced how SpongeBob helped them in certain ways. Now to me, there are a crap ton of continuity errors and plot holes from this, where it may give us an idea how SpongeBob and Patrick met, but it didn't automatically mean that characters like Sandy, characters like Squidward, Mrs. Puff, probably Plankton, and Mr. Krabs met SpongeBob and knew him since they were kids. And to me, that's like, why? Because SpongeBob didn't meet Sandy until the second or third episode of the original series. And Mr. Krabs and Plankton had their own story to go upon when they were kids. And basically, SpongeBob wasn't in the picture before then. And I'm pretty sure Squidward did know SpongeBob, but he was like, but by the sound of him, he's more older and more matured than SpongeBob. But yet, Nickelodeon wants us to believe that it's like, oh, it's our favorite characters, but as kids. And yet, even though Squidward has a sucky life in the original cartoon, we could see him have a sucky life in Camp Coral, where SpongeBob is a part of his life every single day. And it's just like, what the heck? Isn't Squidward supposed to be older than SpongeBob and you want me to believe that he knew him when he was a kid? Yeah, that's very believable. And really, like I previously said, to me, this is like really low. even for Nickelodeon, because they blatantly disregarded the word and the dynasty of Steven Hillenburg, and they were like, "We are sad for the death of Steven Hillenburg," the CEO says, and turns around to his employees and says, "We can finally make a SpongeBob spinoff!" And everyone starts cheering, everyone starts clapping, and it is just absolutely stupid beyond all measures. Let's take a break here, and I'll get into the reboot idea. So, reboots. As one wise animated cartoon basically said, reboots are basically the uncreativity and lack of imagination that companies in Hollywood use on a daily basis. And that cartoon character was Yakko Werner from the 2020 reboot specials of The Animaniacs. And honestly, reboots are sadly basically that. They are a uncreative, unimaginative thing that Hollywood would basically do, just trying to like start up something that was like, say, dead for 20 years. And same goes for like video game companies. Like this could be said with like Battletoads or like the DMC reboot and so on. And really, reboots are starting to pop up from left or right, up and down. You don't know where they're coming from. Sorry, I ate dinner before I done this. But I really thought reboots started to take off after the dreaded reboot of them all. And that reboot was Teen Titans Go. So from what I can remember, Teen Titans Go basically started somewhere between, I want to say 2013 to 2014 at least. And it's sadly still going. And people, and Steven Universe was over, and yet this cartoon is still going on. How? But it also produced a formula that I like to call the Teen Titans formula. And that formula is make every character the same character of personalities. Make them try to be funny. Make them very hip. Make them try to be very cool with the teens and young folks of today. Make them have the fresh maymays and do the craziest stunts and challenges. Like, seriously, make them look sick. And that was basically the formula for Teen Titans Go. And it stuck with other, sadly, cartoons like 2016's Powerpuff Girls and Ben 10 reboot and others. But some of the others I'm about to go into are better reboots than this is. And really, I first liked it, like some of the other episodes, but once it started to get more ridiculous and more confounding to the idea that was Teen Titans, I'm like thinking to myself, what is this anymore? Because like Teen Titans Go from the start was rocky and it was questionable beyond all measures, because to be honest, each of the characters did have their own traits, but they basically acted almost the exact same thing. Like, they acted wacky, they acted silly, they sometimes acted like they were funny as if they were. And really, it is absolutely horrible, folks. It is just horrible. Horrible, I say. And somehow we never had the season 5 of Teen Titans, but yet this is still going on. And really, I just questioned the entire thing. Now, A while ago that I took my younger sibling to go see the Teen Titans Go to the Movies movie. And after laughing at some of the best comments you would read from the trailer, it was surprisingly good. And that's coming from me. Like, it was half good and half bad. There were some half good things about it and half bad things about it. And really, it was all right. But really, the one continuity error from that was that They basically made it seem that the four other characters, like Starfire, Cyborg, Raven, and Beast Boy, were friends and didn't like Robin. But I remember throughout some of the each episodes that I've sadly seen, they like despise him. They hate his guts. They always treat him like crap. They always bully and pick on him all the time on a daily basis. And yet they were like, oh yeah, these guys are friends. They're like doing the hot dank memes and so on. And let's get into the memes. That was the Powerpuff Girls 2016 reboot. Now, to be fair, Powerpuff Girls had a very, I want to say, very, 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 very rocky start when it comes to reboots for some reason. Because there's the original, there is the weird animated version known as Powerpuff Girls Z, which is a basic mind escalation fuck on its own. There was the Powerpuff Girls special, which was also weird on its own as well, and highly complicated too, and also strange. And we are led to this abomination that was the Powerpuff Girls 2016 reboot. Now, the biggest downside was of how much of a big flop it was. And not only that, like it had promise to it. Whereas I remember seeing the trailer, no, the intro for the cartoon, it was really cool. It like had this type of style of like dark and gray and white pencil animation to it, where it was like very sporadic, but yet really nicely done. But the cartoon was not nicely done as well. But it had its own errors. Some of the voice actors were all right, and there was just some very questionable scenes in the movie. Movie, what the hell? Cartoon. There were some very questionable scenes in the cartoon. And not only that, it also was just absolutely stupid because I feel as if this, the entirety of the cartoon was basically up to the Teen Titans Go formula, which was, oh, we need to bring up them hot dank memes. We gotta make these characters silly. We gotta make them care these characters all wacky. We gotta make them look cool. These guys need to look sick. And yet it failed ultimately and horribly. And really, it's just crap. It is an absolute crap cartoon. I don't think it even made it a year. No, I think it did make it a year. It wasn't just shown that much because of Teen Titans Go. Teen Titans Go took Storm and was basically like SpongeBob. It was like the face of Cartoon Network, and it was on every time, every single time that there's a Teen Titans Go episode. And another failed reboot was Thundercats Roar, by the way, which took inspiration from an actual good reboot that I'll get into after this. And really, it stuck to the formula, which was make the characters wacky, make them silly, make them try to look sick, and make them complete utter chaos man and whatever, make them have the same personalities and so on and so forth. And it was not good. It was not promising to the original, because let me be honest, I haven't grown up with the original, but I do remember the 2011 version of Thundercats, and that was much better than this. For some of the designs, they didn't even look like cats. I mean, hell, the other two characters look more like old men than what how they initially is supposed to look like, and it is just absolute garbage. Now, I don't have anything against the animator or the animation, the person behind the animation style of Thundercats Roar. Now, I feel like I have seen his animation somewhere before. I just can't remember where. But like some issues I feel about the cartoon were basically how literally brain dead every character was, because the idea was basically the Teen Titans Go formula, but like the leader of the Thundercats, Lionel, was basically like still a childish git, much like everyone else was in the character. And this is the best way of describing them. A mutant. A mass extinction. We're the only ones of our kind, and that's basically it. And I'm pretty sure it didn't even make it past a year, and it was somehow not heard from again. Like, it was in development hell, and it got out in somewhere between 2019 and 2020, and it didn't even make it out of the year. And Teen Titans Go, again, started to poke fun at this, about the people and the criticism about the cartoon, and saying how they wanted a petition to make Teen Titans Roar. No, Teen Titans Roar, what the fuck? Teen. I said it again. Thundercats Roar canceled. And yet they had a fight with the characters of Thundercats Roar, and the original Lionel was came out and he was like, "You have proved to me that this show is really of the original cartoon of Thundercats, and anyone who says so has a poopy mouth with their own poop opinions." And really, that's like, opinions are opinions, and what people say, they dramatically feel about it. And I feel as if this really just shows that they don't care about someone's own opinions, they don't care about the opinions of the community, and they don't care about the opinions of what they do with the cartoon to begin with. I mean, hell, if they wanted to reboot a cartoon and make it into the exact same formula, they might do that, sadly, and that's something that we can't always do. But Thundercats Roar was basically inspiration from what it has to offer off of an actual good reboot that Nickelodeon did. And that reboot was Teen Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, basically, Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is an absolute mouthful for a cartoon, did try to take inspiration off of Teen Titans Go. However, it didn't actually follow the formula. Because some of the episodes for Teen Titans Go, they sometimes go nowhere. And yet, it's somehow still around. And sadly, as of recording, Teen Titans, no, not Teen Titans Go, the reboot for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was sadly canceled. But yet it was such a good cartoon, like in terms of animation, fight sequences, characters, story. It was good. It was amazing. And yet, because some people would make it easier for having the exact same character, but they were the exact same character in terms of the design to begin with from the original series, as products, and instead of making them different. Like, the designs were different. That sparked some controversy amongst the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fandom. But, like, you're not looking for the weapons anymore. You're actually looking for the actual shadow silhouettes of each of the characters. And that was cool. That was interesting. And not only that, it showed great character developments amongst everyone. Even Master Splinter, and I honestly liked Master Splinter in this version because of him, instead of just being this wise old man, you once you get into the series, you found out that he was like a Hollywood actor, and he was like a run-down man who knew how to fight, but he instead of going the original way of the Hamato, instead he gave it up and joined Hollywood. He became very successful. Shit went down with a character named Draxum, turned him to a rat, and then gave him. No, he stole. Rescued? Stole? Kidnapped? Rescued? Yeah, rescued the other turtles, which was Raphael, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Leonardo from Draxum, and became the man who he came to be. And later on in the series, he slowly becomes a better character and a better father amongst the turtles, and that was cool. That is awesome. That is called character development, Cartoon Network. And it is absolutely a great cartoon with the best animation for a reboot coming from Nickelodeon. And sadly, from what I can understand, they purposely try to get the cartoon kicked off by having its hours randomized. They didn't even bring up how or when it was going to end, and they basically were like, "Why is no one watching our cartoon, despite the fact we're sabotaging it?" And I'm not even sure that the I'm pretty sure there was like a petition out somewhere to keeping Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Rise on Nickelodeon. Now, hopefully, if it's on Hulu or Netflix, then it might be safe for it. Well, for Netflix, that might be a stretch. And speaking about Netflix, let's talk about She-Ra and the Princess of Power. Now, much like Thundercats, I never grew up with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Same with She-Ra. But I saw the couple of episodes of the first season, and my God, it's good. And really, this is another example of what you could be able to do if you know how to reboot a cartoon right. It introduces the characters in a different way. The designs are different from the original, obviously. It's not following the idea that was the Teen Titans formula, which was make everyone sick, make everyone so cool that you just want to jump up and start dabbing with your friends. Yeah, man. And instead, it drove compelling story. It drove what the original sought to drive it as well into a different way. And it ended somewhere, I think, as of last year. I'm sorry, folks. I don't keep track of the years that much. All I know is what happened. And it's really sad, but yet amazing to see how the cartoon ended. And it's just something that we need instead of just like the exact same material, which was the Teen Titans Go formula. You're going to hear me bring that up a lot. And really, as of now, the last and latest reboot was the Animaniacs with Pinky and the Brain. My God, it is a good cartoon. This is another example of another actual good reboot series. I'm pretty sure there's others. I can't remember which ones, but I'm pretty sure I'm missing a couple. But not only that, this cartoon shows the original characters of what they're supposed to be. It shows of how they used to act. It shows a ton of different stuff that it was brave for Warner Brothers to do in the first place. They experimented with different animation styles. Like for one episode with Dot, they made every character, I want to say chibi-ized, like adorable chibi characters. And eventually Yakko, Wacko, and Dot were like, okay, we had enough of this. We need to turn it off. And there was like another animation scene where it was like everyone is like an anime character. It was very awesome, very dramatic, and it was something extremely different. And it shows that the characters, no, not the characters, that the animators and writers were not afraid of experimenting with something new for the cartoon. And that is awesome. As for the jokes, it breaks off to both punching at certain topics and punching at things that were 2020 reboot series and politic jokes, mainly with either Fox and Trump. But I just want to say it to be true. I have been spoiled with SNL jokes. Once you hear them all, you're like, get some different material. But to be fair, they came out in like, what, the 90s? So when you look at back then and further on, a lot of cartoons such as Looney Tunes or Disney and Mickey Mouse or Daffy Duck, they weren't afraid to get political. And I'm not going to get into that. If you want to get into that, then look up Saber Sparks propaganda videos. That's something. And it is another good example of what you could be able to do for a reboot. Now, overall, reboots right now could be revived at any moment. It could be like the Animaniacs, She-Ra, Teen Titans Go, Thundercats Roar, or any other series. It could be a reboot, and it could happen at any given moment right now. I mean, hell, as we're speaking, as I'm talking, Disney, Cartoon Network, or Nickelodeon could be in the works for a reboot or a spinoff series as of now. As we speak, they could be thinking right now of what they could be able to revive and make it something big for everyone else. And really, as annoying as it is, or as exciting as it is for some people, however how you look at it, and depending what they want to reboot or do a spinoff of, we can't honestly stop it. And it's something we do have to live with. And honestly, that's the truth. And it's sadly that truth. Because even though, like I previously said on the second half, no, the first half I mean, Steven Hilberg primarily stated that he did not want a SpongeBob SquarePants spinoff series. But yet, they did it anyway. And as of recording as well, from what I found out, Teen Titans Go has done their own spinoff ideas of both Freakazoid, another cartoon by Warner Brothers, and Beetlejuice. Now to me, I also found this low to them because it was like, let me compare this to Infinite Warfare. Yeah, that's the video game, Infinite Warfare. Now to be honest, no one asked for that game. And yet, Activision made that game and they made a downloadable content deal where if you buy the game, you could also get the remastered version of Call of Duty Modern Warfare before they sell that game separately. Now, to me, that's kind of like the same thing that they did. It's like, oh, you recognize these characters. You older folks might, but the kids may not. But you recognize these characters, so if you want to watch, see them on action, you got to watch the cartoon. If you have to, you got to watch them if you want to see them. And really, that's like my own idea, interpretation of it. And really, reboots and spinoffs are kind of inevitable. And before I forget, be sure to look at my previous episode. I talked about Bakugan. Be sure to support me by listening to each of my podcast episodes. And remember, folks, happy holidays, and geek is fleek.